is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Let anyone ever tell you you don't have value. You may not have value to your neighbors. You may not have value to others in the world, but let me tell you, their value systems are all off anyway. You have value to the most important figure in this world, in this existence. That is God. You have great value, and He created you, you. You don't have to try to be something else. Don't go and try to fit in with the trends of the culture. Don't try to fit in with the little cliques in the world. Be you. He made you the way you are.
In a world where values can be so many different things, it's easy to put value on things that don't hold much worth. Sometimes we even start doubting our own value. But today, Pastor Troy exhorts us to be confident that God values us as His children. Don't let the world tell you anything different. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
But John tells us even more information about Judas's heart. See, in John's Gospel, John chapter 12, verse 6, we read, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and used to take what was put in it." Judas was in this for himself. That word thief, it's a word that is more than just a kleptomaniac. It's there, I'm going to take it. It's this sense of calculating. He was crafty in his thievery. He did the math. This is going to come in, this, they won't notice that, and he was very crafty in his thievery. His values, riches. Riches were the most important thing. Why did he hang in there with the Lord? Probably he saw riches at the end of it, maybe. Maybe power. Something that was important to Judas. He looked good, because for him to get what he valued, it worked well walking with Jesus. It works well, works for me, because I think I can get it this way. Why do you follow Jesus? Why are you here? What do you value? Is it what you should value? Is it the Lord? Is it the things of God? Maybe you value a role or a small church, and maybe if I climb the ladder, position, notoriety. Maybe you value kids that behave. And so you've wondered, where can we do that? Well, we need a church. We need a church that disciplines, though. Or a submitted wife. Looking for that place. Amen. Got an amen. We always get one. You have a value system that causes you to prioritize and make decisions. We want to make sure that we have the right value system. Judas was critical of Mary. He was hypocritical before God. Judas was playing the part of the sin sniffer. All the while, he had sin in his own life. And he knew about it. But he had the receptors out. Anything that went wrong that kind of didn't line up with what he wanted, he pointed to it. He could see it. He wasn't in this for the Lord. He was in this for himself. But Jesus taught us to first remove the plank from our own eye before we remove or attempt to remove the speck from someone else's eye. The idea is not that you don't go and help someone with things they need to see, that they need to be aware of, but that we first check our own heart, because we have sin in our own life that needs to be addressed and dealt with. Judas didn't do that. Judas, instead, he held his value system and he got upset when things didn't move him in that direction. Now, some say that Judas went and told the religious leaders and made the deal in order to try to get Jesus, or to force Jesus' hand. Like, if there came some pressure, that Jesus would actually start to go, okay, I'm the Lord, and finally move in that direction. But even if that were true, Judas still did it for himself, for his own personal gain, because that was his priorities. Scripture tells us that Judas was a devil from the beginning. He didn't lose his salvation. He didn't lose his love for the Lord. From the beginning, that's what he was. He was in it for himself. What are your values? What do you value? It's actually a good exercise to sit down and say, here are the things that I value. Now, take your life and what you pursue. Take your checkbook. Where do you spend your money? Take all these things and see if they actually point to what you say is your value. Because what you're going to do is you're going to find sometimes there's a conflict. I say I value these things, but my time, resources, and all that say I value other things. So we got to get those in alignment first. Then once we realize what we actually value in life, we need to start adjusting those things. Because you place value on things. You have the power to do that. In fact, we're called to place value on the things that are eternal, not the things that are just nice, kind, good things here on earth, but the things that are for the glory of God. That's where to place our highest value. It seems that for Judas, hanging with Jesus allowed him to get what he wanted, but it didn't work out. We need to be careful, because placing too high a value on wrong things will cause us to make bad decisions, wrong decisions. Maybe they seem good because they fit our value system, but maybe wrong in the sense that they are not God's priorities or what God would have us do. If our priorities are out of whack, if our values are out of order, it will hinder our worship with God. If our values are out of order, it will keep us from abiding in Him. If our values are out of order, we will start to lose joy, which is found in Him, and will diminish the way we value our Lord. What does Jesus value? We already said it. He values you. He doesn't want to lay a law on you. You worship me. You pray to me. He wants your affection. He wants your attention. He wants to commune with you. He wants it. He values that. You're important to Him. There's a parable, the pearl of great price. And so many will look at that as the pearl is heaven or salvation, and we give up everything so we can obtain the pearl. But actually, we can't obtain the pearl, not even if we sell everything. We can never obtain the pearl. The pearl, such a great value to this merchant, the pearl is you. You are of that great a value. That God would sell everything, that Jesus would give His life, sell out completely, go to the cross, because He loves you. Don't let anyone ever tell you you don't have value. You may not have value to your neighbors. You may not have value to others in the world. But let me tell you, their value systems are all off anyway. You have value to the most important figure in this world, in this existence. That is God. You have great value. And He created you, you. You don't have to try to be something else. Don't go and try to fit in with the trends of the culture. Don't try to fit in with the little cliques in the world. Be you. He made you the way you are. He's trying to fix some things in there. but He made you perfect. So just be you, but be you for the glory of God. Don't try to change everything. Don't try to change you. Just be you for the glory of God. It's our world that sets up standards of what's pretty and what's right and what's cool and all of these things. The world does all that. You be you. But be you for the glory of God. God made you that way. And He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to abide in Him. He wants you to find your beauty from His heart. He wants you to find everything valuable about you because He has said it's valuable in you. He's placed it there. And He loves you. What should we value? The number one thing that we should value is not just Jesus, like He's some uncle in the distance or brother in the distance. I value Jesus. We are to value our relationship with Him. Our relationship with Him. If we value our relationship with Him above anything else, then we will not do anything. We will not allow anything into our lives that hinders or breaks that relationship with Him. In fact, we can't do anything outside of that relationship. Jesus said, you always have the poor. In other words, you'll always have ministry. Don't find your value in that. Invest in me. Why? I want to read it. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. What's the significance of our abiding, our relationship with him? All of these things depend on it. They depend on it. If you didn't catch the list, let me just give you some of what was in that list. By abiding in him, when we have that connected relationship with him, this is what we experience. We become disciples, learners. We're learning. We're growing. We experience his love. Don't just know about it intellectually. We experience it. We remain in it. We abide in it. We see prayer answered. Our prayers answered. Abiding in him. We bear fruit in our life. We don't just go through life and do a bunch of good things. We see fruit in our life when we abide in him. And this is the part we don't like. Abiding in him, we are also pruned. He cuts away things, takes them out. But the whole purpose of that is to bear more fruit, to be more fruitful, that the fruit that comes is good fruit, not sour little, it's fruit, but good fruit. More than that, he says our joy, his joy is in us, and our joy is full. Been lacking joy lately? The joy of the Lord? Then abide in him. And then I think the biggest key here is, the most important part of this is, God is glorified. We abide in him, we experience all of these things, and God is glorified. What does it mean to abide in him? Because this sounds really good. To abide in him is very simple. It means that everything that we do is rooted in Him. He is the source of it. He is the source of it. He starts it. He initiates it. Whenever you have a plant, you put it in the ground, it roots itself, that's the root, and then it shoots up. To be rooted in something means to be firmly established. I come from that. I'm right here. I'm in it. It started from there. So to be rooted in the Lord, to have what we do rooted in Him, it must be started by Him. Did He start it? Did He say? Or are we like little, we got little weeds in our life of things we got over there and we're over here and we're doing that and we're doing, and we include God in everything, but there's not a great, real honest goodness, fruitfulness. Busyness, yes. God's involved, absolutely. But fruitfulness, well, not fruitfulness that only God could do. Because the things aren't rooted in Him. Here's an example. If I tell my son, son, clean your room. I've told him what he should do. If he says no, or he just doesn't do it, he could do it kindly, you know, like, no, I don't think so. Or he could go and clean something else other than his room. I'd rather do this. I'm doing some work for my dad. I'm going to clean the shed. I didn't say clean the shed. He could say it's for me, but I didn't ask him that. So though he can do lots of things and tell you guys, I clean the shed. Oh, man, what a good boy, man. You clean your shed. He didn't do what I asked. He didn't do what I said. He's not abiding in me. He's done some cool things. He's been very busy, worked his muscles out, sweat, cleaned some things up. Yay. But he's not abiding in me. Because there's something that's come between mine and his relationship now. He didn't obey. He didn't do what I said. He's not abiding. Now, if, on the other hand, he listens to me, and then maybe he has a question, maybe to clarify, he says, Dad, you mean now? You want me to clean it now? And I respond to him, yes, right now. And then he goes off and he does it. Now, throughout this whole process, he's abiding in me. He's abiding in me. He's abiding in me when we converse because we're talking. He's abiding in me when he talks back with questions, when he asks, because there's communication. And even though he goes into his room and he's cleaning it and I'm out here, and it seems like we're separate, is he still abiding in me? Absolutely. Because what he's doing is a direct result. It's the very fruit of what I have said to him. He's still abiding in me. He's not doing something of his own accord. He's not doing something outside of me. He's abiding in me. So many of us, we've gotten good at doing what we want to do based upon our value system and telling everyone that it was God. And we wonder why there's not a fruitfulness, why there's not joy. He said, if we abide in Him, we will bear much fruit. If we abide in Him, we will have His joy in us. Our joy will be complete. God will be glorified. So there is a disconnect if we're missing in joy, if we're missing in some of the fruitfulness that ought to be abounding to for God's glory. There is a disconnect. So find out, what are you doing? Are you abiding in Him? Is what you're doing from Him, rooted in Him? Or is it just doing what you do, carrying Him around? It'll change our lives. And it'll fulfill our joy. You will have joy. There's some days you'll just giggle with joy because God is so good. When my kids do a good job in school, they can't wait till I get home. They want to show me the paper, especially my youngest one, Rachel. She's learned, she wants to make sure I see the work. Everyone else, they put their papers in like a little stack. I look over them, you know, and do what I do with them. But Rachel, especially if she's gotten a really good grade, she knows where I go first. I lay my bag down and I put some things on my chest of drawers. So whenever she's done really good, I'll find her paper right there on the chest of drawers. Like, look at me, smile on it and everything like that. So it brings her joy to please me. It brings her joy when what she does is a direct result of some desire I have for her. I want her to do good in school. She knows that. So when she does good, she never has. I mean, she's already bubbly anyway, but she's overflowing, just so happy. And you know what? This is where we find our joy. Not doing what we want to do based upon the value system I'm making for myself, but doing what God wants me to do for His glory, not for my reputation, for Him, so that I go, man, Lord, I did what You wanted me to do. That was hard. I was scared. I had to study, whatever it may be, but I have no greater joy than to abide in my Lord. What makes us complete and brings us joy is abiding in Christ. Have you been? Are you? Do you want to? What we value, get this, whatever we really value, we make time for. You know that, right? Everything we want to do that we place the highest value on, we do. So don't tell me that God can't come first, that I can't do the things that God wants me to do, I don't have time. That's impossible. And it's sucking your joy. It's stealing your joy and your fruitfulness. And what are we trading it for? Temporary fun, temporary pleasures, a little extra rest. I remember the snooze button. I was a big fan at one time of setting my alarm clock real early because I felt like I controlled things a little more if I set the alarm clock early. And then I could hit the snooze a couple times, like, oh yeah, you going off? I'm gonna snooze. And I'll snooze a little bit, tell me to get up. And I enjoyed it, because then I woke up and go, oh good. I had to wake up so I could realize I'm enjoying some sleep. So I can go back and lay down. But what I found out was, if you get in the habit of that, you can forget how many times you've hit snooze. And then you finally go, Oh, I need to get up, you know, and then you're off and run. Man, I hit snooze. That was 3 times. I thought I only hit it twice. That's not a good way to run your life. Set your alarm clock for, this is just a bonus lesson here for you guys. Set your alarm clock for what time you want to get up and get up. But here's what you ought to do. This is good stuff here. Pray. Pray to the Lord and say, Lord, what time do you want me to get up tomorrow so that I can spend some time with you? Now, it's no longer an alarm clock. It's no longer about snooze. It's you and God. And if He said 5:30, you better not touch that snooze button. Pray. Ask the Lord. See if He has an opinion. Pray about all things. And abide in Him. There's no greater joy. And we lose so much of our joy because we don't abide in Him. What do you value most? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. What you value, you will make time for. Don't deceive yourself. The heart is deceitful above all things. Don't say you value one thing, like time with God, and not find time for it. Get real about what you've been valuing, and then pray to God about what you should be valuing. And let's get our priorities straight.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have your way.